The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a lot going on, and it's Suns Lakers tonight. We have this Pac-12 schedule released for ASU and U of A that we're going to chop up here in a minute with Spurge and Claudia and Peter King from. Yeah, I'm bringing Peter King back because people are checking it out. If you missed, Peter King and I was moments after J.J. Watt signed. There's not a bigger name in all the National Football League media than Peter King. And Jeff Meshee is going to be with us today. So Jeff is a good friend. He is the CEO and the president of Desert Financial Credit Union. And I like doing business of sports. We're also involved. Sports 360 AZ is also involved. We put together a team for the Arizona Heart Walk. When Pedro Gomez dropped out of a heart attack last month, those of you that take in the show, you know that it really pierced me. And then Kent Summers, my friend over at the Arizona Republic, had heart surgery last week. And I just looked at it and said, I don't like it when people just say, well, let's do something, and then you never do anything. You know, let's do something as a team collectively. So I put together a heart walk team. It's being done virtually. It's a week from this Saturday. Jeff's going to talk about all the information, but also the business of sports side. Jeff is well known in the community for all the philanthropic things that Desert Financial does. But on top of that, he's just a good dude. And he's involved with the Fiesta Bowl. He sees everything that goes on with the professional teams. And I just think from a business of sports side, I like doing this. And people like hearing this stuff too. So that is all coming up on today's show. We are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. It's Desert Financial Credit Union around the valley. Before you know it, across the state. We appreciate their partnership. All right. I have today, this is the first time we've done this. So Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board and the Iron Man, this may crash and burn, which is fine. I love crash and burn opportunities. So we have not just Spurge today, but we have the newest addition, Claudia. And they're both jumping on because both of you have been watching and what's been taking place here in the last, and I'm pulling it up right now, so I'm looking at my phone. The schedule being released for the Pac-12. It's both of you guys have checked it out. So let's just start with you, Spurge, first. And Claudia, look, here's how it works. I'll just tell you. If you think he's full of it, jump in. If I think you're full of it, Claudia, jump in. When we chop it up, that's what we're doing here is we're chopping up. So let's chop up ASU and U of A in the Pac-12. Spurge, you lead off. What were your initial thoughts?
They open on a Thursday, which to me is a little bit odd against Southern Utah. So that's a little bit interesting. But I think overall they got a pretty good schedule. Corvallis in November, a second time in a row or third time in a row, whatever it is now.
They're always in Corvallis in November. Have either one of you been to Corvallis in November, by the way?
Have not.
No.
All right. So here's the deal on it. It's always miserably cold. There's not much to do in Corvallis. Corvallis it's a neat little town and that's it. It's a neat little town. There's a big old Dutch Bros that's right next to the railroad track, okay? So it was like 5 years ago I go up there. This is when Todd Graham and Mike Norvell were coaching. And those of you that know ASU football know that when Todd and Mike were at halftime at the Oregon State game bickering over quarterbacks, that was really the end of Mike Norvell, who's now the head coach at Florida State, and Todd Graham here together. They just were butting heads. But I walk into this press box at Reser Stadium, they call it, and there's nothing but Dutch Bros. I'm like, what is this? What is this? And this is when Dutch Brothers just started. And I am not one of these food hogs that rolls in. In fact, I tell people that get into the business for us, do not be the first in line for the free food. Do not be that person. Do not go back for fifths of plates just piled high like you're a cow at a trough. Don't do it. But I was that night. I was that guy. Because when you have free Dutch Bros, life's really good. Because it was so cold. Man, it was cold. But neither one of you have never been to Corvallis? Are you kidding me? Claudia, have you ever wanted to go to Corvallis?
I've never thought about it. It's never occurred to me. But I would definitely be like you, stocking up on all the free Dutch Bros. I can't get myself to wait in those lines here in Arizona, so it might depend on how long the lines are there to
get all
the
line. I just cleared them out, Claudia. It's like, get out of the way, man. Are you kidding me? You can give me one of these annihilators. No, in fact, give me four annihilators. Are you guys Dutch Bros consumers? Spur, do you consumer?
I'm not. I've been a couple times. It's expensive.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm a real college kid.
Are you into the happy Dutch Bro personality vibe that they have? You know what I mean by that, Claudia?
Yes, I do. I remember thinking like they actually like really cared about me and like really wanted to know about my day. And then I'd go to different Dutch Bros throughout the valley, and I'm like, oh, this is like Chick-fil-A is my picture. Like, this is just, you know, they're super cool, laid back, leaning over the window, chatting you up. And I'm like, I don't care if it's a girl, a guy, like they're all so friendly. And then I realized like they definitely just are told that's how they have to be.
but you know what? You may be right. In fairness, there are some times where I'll come up to a Dutch Bros, like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I'm just, whoa, man, it's early. But there are times that Dutch Bros has helped people out that have come in that I've heard behind the scenes. And I've actually been over to their facility, and they do train people to be very, very nice and very, very excitable and sometimes a little over the top. But I don't mind it. So anyways, you go to Corvallis and you get Dutch Bros. That's where all this was going. Let me think. Okay, so road trips here. Let's thumb wrestle over road trips. Either one of you ever been to Provo? ASU plays BYU in week three. Either one of you ever been to Provo?
I have, mostly driving through, but my fiance played minor league baseball in Idaho Falls, so that was just like one of the stops on the bus I had to take to actually get to Idaho Falls. But I don't know too much about it. It's a beautiful area. Definitely would like to go back, but.
All right. Do you want to go back, Spurge? Do you want to fight with Claudia over Provo?
Yeah, I've been there a couple times, driven through, so.
All right. So neither one of you are too excited about that. Okay. Who wants UCLA? Who wants out UCLA?
I'll just say yes to all of them, and then we'll thumb
wrestle. No. Well, there's not a trip. Unfortunately, there's not a trip to Pullman this year, because then you'll find out if you really want to do this business long term. It takes forever to get to Pullman. It's probably I've had a few trips to Pullman where it would have been shorter to fly to London than it would have been to fly back home from Pullman. Because you get fogged in, and they shoot you to these regional airports, and they put you on buses, and you go to Portland, and then you go to Seattle, and then you get delayed, and then you go to Vegas, and you're just like, I could have been in Ireland by now. What are we doing here? So Southern Utah, let's play this game. Southern Utah, are we going to agree that's a win?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so 1-0. UNLV, win, loss, week two?
Win.
Okay. BYU at BYU, week three?
That's a tough one.
I'm calling it a win because it's changing quarterback.
Yeah, they no longer got Zach Wilson unless they got another one of those sitting in the wings. I don't think they do. It's probably a win.
So they're 3-0.
But it's a tough, you know, ahead of conference matchup that I'm excited. I think it'll be
negative.
A good game.
You're kind of negative. You're taking that you think it'll be a good game.
It'll be a good game.
Look, Claudia, it's a win or a loss. Okay.
It's a win or a loss. It's a
okay. So now you're being the homer. Okay. You're 3-0. You're on the bench. I'm calling it a win. 3-0. All right. So then they're home to Colorado. Colorado last year, pretty good team. But that was last year. Calling it a loss. They're 3-1. They're going to lose at home.
Oh?
Yeah. I'm kind of negative. You guys?
At home, on the road, I'd probably think different. They struggle at Colorado. But at home, I think they got a better shot.
Yeah. I'm with you, Spurge. At home, that's a win.
4-0? Wow. So if they're 4-0, you two, then they're probably ranked top 10. UCLA on the road. UCLA on the road.
That's a tough game.
Come on now. We got to get you out of the. It's a tough game. Is it a win or is it a loss? I'm calling it a win. They're gonna shock the world. They're gonna bounce back after Colorado, and they're gonna be 4-1.
Are we 5-0 now, Spurge?
Yeah, I think 5-0. I think Chip Kelly just.
Where'd you guys go to school again? Where'd you guys go to school again?
Florida Atlantic.
Yeah,
Florida
Atlantic.
Good answer, but there's not too much fun stuff going on over there. We had one good season with Lane Kiffin, and then that was kind of
it. That was it. He kind of used you guys and moved on. All right, then they play Stanford at home on a Friday night. I hate those Friday night games because you're taking away from high school games. I'm calling that one a win by a little bit. David Shaw's tough, man. Stanford's always really well coached, and they give ASU a hard time. Utah at Utah. That's a loss. I don't care how many players Utah's lost. Utah up there, that's just a tough deal. I was at the ASU-Utah game a year ago up there. It was the worst night. It was so cold. And ASU just got beat on, just unmercifully beat on. Where you guys at on those two?
I think Utah's their first loss. I think they beat Stanford, but I think Utah might be the first loss.
Ditto. I basically could say, yeah.
He goes, you're not going to really go 7-0, are you, Claudia? Yeah. She froze up. All right. So Spurge, you're at 6-1.
Yeah.
6-1. Hey, Iron Man, if she comes back, just put her back on. So we'll finish through this. So then they have the bye week. They're 6-1. Washington State at home. That's a win, right? We're going to agree on that.
Yeah, that's a win.
SC home. Claudia, you're back with us. SC at home. Where are you at on that one?
That's another tough one.
Oh boy,
honestly, I think it comes down to you're just not winning. It's scary when you win that many games. It's kind of, I look at it like the Steelers. You can't like have this huge win streak and still expect to be good. So I'm calling it a loss because I almost think they need to lose in order to be as good as they can be.
Okay, so you're not calling them to be a national championship team, either one of you?
No.
No, all right, all right.
That's a loss, USC.
Okay, so both of you have them with one loss?
I got two.
You have two losses. Okay, both of you with two losses. Okay, so let's finish this out really quick because I'm late. Washington at home. I'm sorry, Washington on the road. Oregon State on the road, back-to-back weeks. Then U of A.
I think they can get the rematch.
You get 3-0, Spurge?
I got 3-0 there.
Wow.
Finished two losses.
You've got them at 10-2?
It's possible. Yeah, I think I do.
Possible.
Okay,
it's either yes or no.
Yes, I have them going 10-2 this year. They're going to go 10-2.
Oh my gosh. Claudia?
I would say Washington's a loss for me. That's another tough. They've got a couple tough road games that falls in that category for me. So I would make that probably my third loss of the season. U of A, I don't even know why we call it the Territorial Cup anymore because, like, when's the last time U of A won? Like, 5 years ago. Right. I sound like I don't like U of A. I don't care. Right. I'm not
a hater.
Like,
you're a hater.
I'm a fan.
So you have two losses. You have three losses, Claudia.
I have three losses.
All right. So Spurge has two. Claudia has three. I have two. I'm thinking about the Washington game. I'm leaning Claudia's way, and now I'm the one that's on the fence. So I'll just say they're going to lose that.
Right,
so
after all that, Brad?
Yeah, I know, right? See, you guys called me out on this.
After all that, you're going to sit on the fence? Okay.
All right. Get out of here, you two. Good stuff.
We're just not allowed.
See you guys. Be brilliant. Go work on content. Get out of here. There's Spurred and Claudia. There's a few other things because we are running late. Man, U of A basketball last night lost at Oregon. The Ducks have beaten U of A seven straight times. And I have no dog in the fight. I didn't go to ASU, didn't go to U of A. Okay? I've taught some at ASU. But the last time that the U of A, it's been seven straight times Oregon has beat U of A, that never happened back in the Lute days. Very seldom happened in Sean Miller early days. And Sean's got a year left on his deal. Like, if you're even the most ardent U of A honks and homers out there, and you know who you are, you'd have to say, what are we doing here? But the big story is Suns-Lakers tonight. Suns-Lakers, it's on TNT. I'm going to take it in. I'm going to, I don't care who wins or loses on tonight's game. I do think it is important, okay? LeBron James is as media savvy as anybody out there. Today is the anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points. They're going to talk about Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points. I'm not saying LeBron James is going to score 100 points. I'm not saying Devin Booker is going to score 100 points. But I know this to be true, probably in Book's case, for sure in LeBron's case. They know that this is the anniversary. And they know that in a game like this, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on them. And so there's going to be some reference, if they either one has a big game tonight, of, yeah, I was trying to catch Wilt. Bank on it. That is tonight. And the J.J. Watt stuff, it's really, I'd say 60-40 people like it. 60-40. The people that are on the side of the street of, He's older. He's been injured. A lot of former players I've talked to in the last 24 hours have reached out. One of them's got me on the show later today. And I feel like there is the, he's not going to win a Super Bowl, but he's certainly going to get paid. This is his last big contract narrative that is out there. We will talk with Peter King coming up on the other side. Actually, I caught up with Peter earlier from Football Morning in America. And then Jeff Mishi, CEO and president of Desert Financial Credit Union, on the upcoming Heart Walk in the Business of Sports in Arizona. On a Tuesday, I'm Brad Sussmat. As promised, right off the top, Peter King, Football Morning in America, none bigger to talk about the National Football League inside and out than Peter. The news of J.J. Watt, from Peter King's point of view, the moment you heard it, you felt what?
Surprised. Not that I think he's a bad fit in the Valley, but my feeling is that there were other teams that are closer than the Cardinals. Not that the Cardinals are far away, but I thought that if he wanted to have a chance, the best chance to win a Super Bowl this year, he would go and probably take less money at a place like Green Bay or Buffalo. And, you know, there were several that everybody had mentioned. And look, this is very early in the process. I don't know. He hasn't said anything yet. So what do I know about what really happened here? He's done a very good job of keeping everything since his release very quiet. But I have to feel that this was a balance between going a good team and not taking a huge bath on his contract.
You know, Peter, when you look at it from a distance, the moment that it popped up on his social media of him in a Cardinal jersey, and within moments, the Cardinals have a press release out of a 2-year deal, a 2-year commitment. I've had mixed reaction from fans saying, you know, we've seen contracts come to Arizona before with players that are towards the end, and they always go back to Emmett Smith and what happened. I think it's a completely different situation and time here. How much gas is left in the tank with J.J. Watt, I think, is the question that a lot of fans are asking.
Well, I think it's a very logical question. It's a good question. But here's the thing with J.J. Watt. You know, to come down on the side of J.J. Watt's got 2 good years left, you would say J.J. Watt has played 40 of the last 48 games, has been relatively productive over that period of time. He's had 25 sacks. He's very good rushing from inside as well. And I won't be remotely surprised if he has 2 productive years left. But if you take it out a little bit further, you say that, you know, in the last 5 years, J.J. Watt has played 2 full seasons. And in the other 3 seasons, he's played 3, 5, and 8 games. So J.J. Watt has missed a lot of games due to injury. And again, I'd like to see the contract, and good for the Cardinals. In order to get him, I'm sure they had to really pony up because there are other teams that are closer. But, you know, the Cardinals, I'm sure, will say that, look, we found ourselves wanting another front seven force. We didn't have one. You know, we have Chandler Jones, and we don't really have a great rush guy other than Chandler Jones.
Right.
So it makes all the sense for the Cardinals. And, you know, Brad, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, bad deal. The guy, this is age 32 year, you know, 3 of his last 5 years, he's missed a lot of time. But, you know, again, that's why all of these contracts to me, when you sign a guy who's going to be 32 years old and he's entering his 11th year, all of these contracts are dangerous. So, you know, I think in order to get him, they probably had to go a little bit farther than they really wanted to go. because that's a lot of money. I saw Adam Schefter reported it. There's $23 million guaranteed. Man, that's a lot of money guaranteed to a guy who's missed a lot of games.
Well, and you look at it, Peter, and you have the free agency situation with Patrick Peterson on the backside of his career. If you look at offensively with the concern of, does Kyler have enough help on the offensive front? Kenyon Drake is a free agent. Larry Fitzgerald's a free agent. If we talk specifically about Fitz, do you think this has anything for Fitz to say, you know what, I should come back for another year because they are making a run at least, and I don't want to be here in another situation where we're looking up from the basement of the NFC West.
I really thought toward the end of the year that Larry was going to retire. And, you know, it's – you always keep saying, well, you know, maybe he's got 1 year left. Larry Fitzgerald's 38 years old next season. I mean, and, you know, he's coming off a really kind of – unimpactful year. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Beyond subpar, you know, I mean, 7.6 yards per reception. I mean, that's awful. And so I'm not blaming him altogether. I'm just saying that he right now appears to be a bit part of this offense. Mm-hmm. And so part of me says, I'm sure that Larry will say, oh my gosh, I've played all this time. I want to come back one more year and do whatever I can and all that. But I mean, the Cardinals just have to look at their contract situation now. And I don't have their cap in front of me, Brad, but you know, everybody is going to be pinching pennies this year, everybody. And to take whatever it is, and I would assume, I just assume that if they did a contract with Larry Fitzgerald, it would be pushing money off into 2023 and or 24.
There's no way he's making $11 million again, yeah, Peter. Those days are gone of 1 year, 11 yeah. millions for Larry. Yeah. Gotta be.
Yeah.
With this contract with JJ Watt, gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think so. But there are ways that you could say to Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, I am mindful of the contract that Peyton Manning signed his last year in the NFL. John Elway came to him and said he was due $20 million. And he came to him and said, you got to take a $4 million haircut. We need to sign an offensive lineman. We don't have any money. And so Peyton, I think, angrily took the pay cut with $4 million to be made up in bonuses. And he actually ended up making it back because that year they won the Super Bowl. So he made his money, but that is the kind of contract that I would think that the Cardinals would have to give Larry Fitzgerald because, and again, I don't have their cap in front of me. They might be in better shape than I think they are, but in order to do this, I would guess that the Cardinals are not going to be able to do much of anything in free agency. And clearly they have to be counting on, you know, a bookend situation with JJ Watt, Chandler Jones, to be able to chase the quarterbacks of the NFC West.
Before I get you out of here, and I appreciate your time on short notice, Peter King, Football Morning in America, the big story, the Cardinals getting JJ Watt. What happened in Houston from your view? Is it just simply what happened with DeAndre Hopkins? Deshaun Watson went out. How did it fall apart for J.J. Watt in Houston?
I think he got tired of the organization being basically amateur hour. Mm. And, you know, Brad, you know what you should do? Go back and look at the Twitter video that J.J. Watt put up. It's like 90 or 100 seconds just thanking the fans in Houston for everything that they did for him and meant to him and all that. Mm. He didn't thank the organization. All he said was, we have agreed to part ways. He didn't go into any, oh man, thank you to the McNair family for bringing me here. The McNairs are so wonderful. They've been great to me, everything. He thanked the city of Houston, you know, and you really had to be listening to it. It was a very nice farewell to Houston, but it's what he didn't say in that he felt like, if you can get out of that sinking ship, you really need to try to get out. And that's what J.J. Watt did.
I'll let you go off that, Peter. I appreciate your time and your insight, as always, on J.J. Watt coming to the Cardinals today. Thanks.
All right, Brad, take care.
There's Peter King, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, one of our partners, and it is our title sponsor that I'm so proud to have coming into year number two, and that is Desert Financial Credit Union. And I've talked about them, and I've talked about Jeff Meshee on the show, but here's the thing with Jeff. A, he's a friend. B, he's so involved in the community, as is Desert Financial. And C, he wants to be a Diamondback. As you can see by him showing up dressed as, what are you applying for? Are you a short reliever? Or I know you're short, but are you a reliever? What is the deal here with this look today, Jeff?
You know, put me in, coach. I'll take any opportunity that they have. You know, pinch hitter, I don't care. Bullpen catcher, whatever.
You're an original Diamondback season ticket holder, correct?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Do you know what number you were when you came in?
I don't. They did disclose some numbers recently because of the situation this year with limited seating.
Yeah.
So I know I'm in the first 1,000.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So what drew you to them? Because for people that don't know, you've been in the Valley a long time. What was it that drew you to them when baseball first showed up here?
So this is an interesting story. I was a Baltimore Orioles season ticket holder for many years, and I'm a lifelong Oriole fan. And when I took the job out here, it was the year of the strike, 1994. And I moved out here and there's no team. So we have spring training. I went to a lot of spring training games, but honestly, I wouldn't have taken the job here if I didn't know Phoenix was getting a team.
Really?
Now, that's how much MLB means to me. Hmm. And so the most devastating thing about the move was I missed Cal breaking the streak. Because I wasn't in Baltimore anymore and I wasn't a season ticket holder there anymore. So yeah, I signed up pretty early on, partnered with another guy in the Valley here. And, you know, what a great decision that was. We get a World Series in short order. I went to every one of the home games during that series, lifelong memories.
It's good stuff. Jeff Meshee is with us. He is the CEO, the president of Desert Financial Credit Union. The Arizona Heart Walk is coming up later this month. I want to have Jeff on to talk about that. We'll get to it momentarily. I'm always interested in talking business of sports. Okay. And so here in the Valley, and Jerry Colangelo really drilled this into me, Jeff, back in my early days here when I got here in 94. That you have to look beyond just the game. You have to look at the impact in the community. Desert Financial is everywhere. When I see the ASU game, you're on the floor. When I see the name of the building, when I see the Suns game and the rolling board, you're obviously involved with us as well. What is it about sports and business in Arizona that makes sense for you and Desert Financial?
Well, I think it's just probably one of the best sports towns, if not the best sports town in the country. And so we've got all the major sports represented here. And, you know, it was always our desire to be part of that. And so our members, our fans, you know, we're fans. And, you know, we stepped it up with the Cardinals recently as well. We just want to be where our people are. And we just want to be part of it. And I think you're right. The other effort that we support is the Fiesta Bowl, mm-hmm. which, again, is a crown jewel of the Valley and brings a lot of revenue to town. Not so much this past year, but in normal years, that's, you know, millions of dollars of economic impact. So we just want to be represented everywhere that we can.
How much sports is too much sports?
You know, we balance it with some things like ASU Gamage. So we're the sponsor of the Broadway series at Gamage. Can't wait for that to start up again. I was lucky, fortunate enough to see Hamilton when that was here a few years
look
ago.
Look at you. Look at you.
And you'll like this, sitting two seats down from me next to my father-in-law was somebody who used to quarterback for the Eagles that lives down the road here in Chandler.
Mr. McNabb?
What a thrill that was for my father-in-law to be sitting next to Mr. McNabb watching Hamilton. But no, so we do. I don't think you can get enough sports. I think it's something that we all miss so badly now during the pandemic in terms of being able to be there in person. And I think there'll be a pretty healthy resurgence here once it's safe to get out and to get back there. You know, for me, I miss the crack of the bat and the taste of a hot dog and a beer.
Yeah, yeah.
A whole lot.
As do I. Our mutual friend, Pat McMahon, you are on the site right now, and he asks you a very good question about the difference between a credit union and a bank. Because you and I are together, I would like for you to go through that, maybe in a little bit more depth than you and Pat did, and I'll just sit back and let you go, because people may be saying, well, what is the deal? I hear about credit union. I see their brand everywhere. What is the difference?
Yeah, it's a great question, Brad, and I'd be happy to talk about it. So really, credit unions offer the same products and services as banks. The difference is, first of all, our purpose, and then secondly, the way we're constructed. So our purpose is to help people and not necessarily to make money. We're not for profit. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to make profits. We've got bills, we've got employees to pay and so forth. But when you come into one of our offices, we're going to make the effort to find out your situation and recommend the products and services that are best for you, Brad Sesmat. Not what's on the shelf, not what we make the most money from. And I think that's one of the biggest differences. But the structure is different too. So our members own the institution. Mm-hmm. We're member owned. And that means that, you know, our whole purpose is to serve our members. We don't have shareholders to have to worry about. We don't have a lot of the other things that banks have to, you know, think about in terms of their structure. It's pretty clear that we should be doing everything we can to help our members. And that's the way we've organized, and that's the way we've managed these many years. We celebrated our 80th anniversary recently. But, you know, not too long ago, we rebranded. We used to be Desert Schools because we were started by 15 school teachers. Mm. And that was that's our legacy, but that was our whole base. That was our member base for a long time. Even when I joined the institution in the mid 90s, it was still mostly school employees. We changed to a community charter and people didn't get that because our name still said schools. They thought they couldn't join. So that's the reason we rebranded, was to clear up that discrepancy and misunderstanding. And that's been such a great move. I wish we had done that years ago, because now it's pretty clear that we're a financial services company and that we can offer virtually all the same products and services that a bank does. But we do it, in a different way. And I don't want to kind of sound negative against the banks. They do a really good job. I mean, we're actually bank customers as well, because they do some services that we need to run our business. So I don't want to unnecessarily denigrate them. They have their spot, and we have our sweet spot as well. And so our sweet spot are for consumers, small businesses, people like yourself that want a local institution. And everything that we do for the community is local. So if you're a national bank, you've got to worry about, you know, the whole country and in some cases the whole world, because you've got customers everywhere. We only have customers in Arizona, so we can be laser focused on what are the local needs, where can we do the most good. And that's our mission, is to share success with the community, with our members, as well as our employees.
And you are moving statewide. You know, people may think you're just here in the Valley, because you are everywhere here in the Valley, but your plan is to be statewide, right?
Yes, we're in the process of negotiating an agreement with a grocery store in Prescott to open an office there later this year. I won't disclose that yet because it's not signed, but we'd like to then go up to Flagstaff. We've got our eye on Tucson in another year or two. And we need to be more than just a Valley institution. I think we've got a lot to offer for other parts of the state as well. So we're excited about that. That's definitely in our growth plan.
Yeah, it's like us. You know, I see sports statewide. I don't see sports just in Maricopa County. The base is here, but, you know, Saturday, NAU is opening their football season. Saturday, I'm going to be in Tucson to watch Larry Fitzgerald golf with Marcus Allen and Dan Hampton and Phil, because they have their big event down there, the Colgard Classic. So, you know, from a business standpoint, I get it statewide. Jeff Michie's with us for a couple of minutes, president and CEO of Desert Financial Credit Union. Okay, so I open up the Heart Walk, and I see that the top people right now, the top group that is getting involved is Desert Financial Credit Union. The event is later this month on the 13th. Jeff, take the floor on the event and why this is so important to you, your people, Desert Financial, and across the state.
Well, the American Heart Association is just a wonderful organization. And really the whole purpose behind the Heart Walk is to raise funds for the American Heart Association. So March 13th is the date. It's a digital experience this year because of the pandemic. But we've got lots of folks that are that have their own teams. They've got family, friends, walking with them, and all raising money for this great cause. So, and I've learned a lot since taking this role. I mean, we all knew how important heart health was, Brad, before the pandemic, but we know so much more now. And the American Heart Association actually has played a key role in doing some research, even around COVID and the impacts to heart health from COVID. So we really think this is an important cause. Heart disease is the number one killer in the U.S. every year. Stroke isn't far behind at number five. And we need to educate people starting at a very young age about eating healthy, taking care of their heart, and so many other things that you kind of learn about when you get involved. So this has been a great experience for me. I've really enjoyed the new association, and my team's getting, it's very competitive, as you know, Brad. So yeah, my team has been out there working hard. You know, we want to be the top fundraiser. I know there are some other great companies here locally that will make a run at us, and that's great. But this is a great opportunity to, for your viewers to help out. They can donate. I'll give you the website here. It's www.phoenixheartwalk.org. You go on there and you'll see a lot of information and how you can participate.
Well, I'm going to make this very personal. So in the last month, my very close friend Pedro Gomez died of a heart attack. In the last month, a very good friend, Kent Summers, columnist of the Arizona Republic, had to go in for heart surgery. And I have been moved by seeing the going through the loss, one with Pedro and then two just chatting with Kent afterwards. And so this is something, and I've had heart history in my past with my family too. So it's something that everybody needs to be involved in. And this is a great event. It's on the 13th. It's on a Saturday. When you say that there's other great companies involved, you're right. I don't think they're going to catch you though. You guys are just blowing away everybody. Last time I checked, I think you guys were up. Well, you guys are up a lot. Let's just put it that. It's kind of like the Suns this year on some of their nights where they're winning by 30 or 40, and it's just going to be a runaway. But it's great work that you're doing. Why don't you give that website one more time, Jeff? And if there's any other information you want to get out about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's www.phoenixheartwalk.org. The Facebook handle is at AHA Arizona. And so one of the things we're hoping for is for people to take some pictures when they're out walking on the 13th. We'll post those on the site, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's some special things on the website for kids. You know, it's a great way to get out and safely and socially distanced, get some exercise. And, you know, we know how important that is for heart health. You know, I've got heart disease in my family as well. And, you know, I think every one of us knows someone who has succumbed to this. I mean, it's that big of a deal. And the nice thing is we've learned so much more about it in the last few years through all the research. And we just, as I said, I think it's important to talk to kids at an early age. Childhood obesity is rampant in this country. That's a problem. We need to teach people how to eat better. You know, you and I both know about that, Brad. We've had to go through diets and, you know, we can't necessarily get everybody to do that, but at least planting the seed and educating. Another big problem with youth is vaping. And the American Heart Association's done some great research around that. You know, we pretty much extinguished teenage smoking a number of years ago. Pretty much was, you know, not happening anymore. And then the tobacco companies came up with the whole vape idea. And guess what? It's back with a vengeance. And, you know, one of those containers of vape is like a whole pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
But our kids don't know that.
Yeah.
And so we need to educate about that as well. And so great organization. They do so much good for us. And, you know, we're just trying to get the as many people as possible involved with this. And I think when you do learn about it, you want to support it. I made the comment to one of my colleagues that, actually it was on a radio interview I did with Danny Davis. And I said, you know, I've been fundraising for different causes for a long time. This has been the easiest cause to fundraise for.
Sure.
Since I helped one of my older daughters sell Girl Scout cookies like 15 years ago. I mean, it's that easy. You know, you ask people and rarely do you get a no. You know, sometimes you get, well, I've already given or something like that. But I've had great success. I know that our staff has as well. And we appreciate you helping to publicize this. That's going to allow more people to know about it.
That's the least we can do. It's the least we can do.
Yeah, I'd love to get some of our sports personalities involved in the future in this. It's a great opportunity for somebody to champion that for us.
Yeah, get on out there and do their thing. That's good stuff. I appreciate the time and the insight, Jeff. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.